Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the best of the Patriots. Oh, yeah! A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, brought to you on a Mayo Monday by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with five New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, by Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Hello, Coach.
Hey.
You said last week on this show that a win would fix everything. So is everything fixed?
Everything's not fixed. What I would say is a lot of the things that were happening over the last few weeks have been symptoms of losing. And you have to win one game before you can start to stack them together. So that's what I meant.
So symptoms of losing, meaning just everybody is
Everyone has solutions. You know?
Yeah.
And it's not just in the building. It's outside. I can't even go to a grocery store without, well, maybe you should change the time of practice. My mom calls me the solutions. People in the building. Like, everyone has a solution. And
what is your mom recommending?
My mom recommends just play better. That's her thing. just play, just coach better and play better.
Coach better and play better. Yeah. Well, that happened yesterday, and I think, you know, speaking of noise, a lot of noise about you calling this football team soft and then saying they played soft, but seems like that you may have known exactly what you were doing, and that these guys responded well to that.
Yeah, the guys went out there and played well. I tried to walk it back last week as far as calling them soft. We played soft the last two games, and that's what I meant. And I would say those guys answered the challenge. I don't think we have soft guys in the locker room. That's just the way we played the last 2 weeks, and I thought they came out and played well yesterday.
Gerard, I know that some of the guys, especially the wide receiver group, and we're all like that, guys who want the football, we're talking about being more productive, having more opportunity. It seems like they got some chances yesterday and still had some drops. What are some of the issues with maybe the drops that some of these guys have to focus on a little bit better?
The issue is the drops, huh? You're exactly right. You know, those guys, they got open, and you know, good receivers, they get open, they catch the ball, and if they're really good, they run with it afterwards. Mm-hmm. And you know, we had a bunch of drops yesterday, but those are things that we can correct and look forward to those guys taking the next step.
But when it comes to correcting that, is that just reps in practice? Is it a mental thing with some of these guys? It seems like some, you know, you brought this up a couple weeks ago with us, where it's okay to talk and demand the football, but then you got to deliver. It seems
which
like
I just still feel that way.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people, well, get on the jugs machines and do all this and do all that. At the same time, you don't have a 250-pound linebacker running at you at the same time.
Yeah.
And so some of those drops were across the middle. We had a couple on the outside, and it comes down to concentration.
When it comes to going into halftime yesterday, it seemed like you guys were just trying to run the clock down.
That's exactly what we were trying to do.
Okay.
You know, anytime you lose your starting quarterback and the game plan revolves around a starting your quarterback, and there's a major shift, you know, we run the ball. If we pop that run, then we'll get into our 2-minute or no huddle stuff. But at the same time, it was an opportunity for us as a team in all three phases to hit the reset button, go back, re-energize, make our corrections, and come out and play.
What was your message in the locker room at halftime after doing so?
Yeah, the messaging was the same thing I said before the game, 30 minutes before those guys got dressed. And it's the next man up mentality. Before the game, we found out that one of our best players wasn't able to go in Duggar. And I challenged the rest of the guys, like, look, it's next man up. And it stinks to find out you know, that close to the game, but it happened. And the same thing in the game when your starting quarterback, who you expect to go out there and play four quarters, more if need be, goes down, it's the next man up mentality. And I told those guys at halftime, this is an opportunity to, for us to go out there and support Jacoby, and that's by playing complimentary football. And I think we did that at times.
Gerard, I thought last week was a massive week for you. Our perspective outside the building, but the noise was at a fever pitch about walking back comments, the locker room, these players.
When has walking back comments ever been like a big deal? For me though, like situations change. And I would always say I always reserve the right to change my mind no matter what we're talking about. Who's starting, who's not starting. Like, I always reserve that right. And you know, we talk about transparency, which I've tried to be with all of you guys. And to me, transparency is what I want you to see. I'm not going to say everything that is under the curtain, no. But at the same time, the relationship with the media, I think, is important. So even in saying that, you say it's a fever pitch. For me, it doesn't matter. As long as the fam's straight, I'm straight. This isn't really adversity for me.
I think it's a perspective thing, and I'm glad to hear you say that the way you said it, because I think some people perceive it to be a lack of experience or somebody who's new in a job, yeah. I think is where that...
I am new on a job, and what I will say is, just like I expect from our team to get better each and every week, I expect me as a head coach to get better every single week, and I demand that from our assistant coaches as well. Like, you guys got to get better every single week. It doesn't matter who the players are out on the field. We expect to go out there and win and play winning football.
So, are you also demanding from your assistants a new touchdown celebration every week? Is there a name for that?
Look, I'm just happy we're scoring touchdowns if they are celebrating.
Was that part of the plan?
No, honestly, you know, when Kraft released the shoes, you know, AVP was joking around like the old kid in play, like tapping. We were just out there having fun, man. Look, at the end of the day, look, winning is fun, and it's fun winning, and that's kind of our mindset.
I want you totally answered that properly, and Greg's waiting one day for me to actually do my job well enough to celebrate. But a part of that huge noise outside the building was led by the guy you replaced. And I know you don't want to get into personal stuff, but is it surprising on any level for you that a guy you played for, took you at 8 overall, worked on his staff for years, is so quick to criticize and sort of knock you when you're down?
Well, I was 10 overall, so you got to do some research. Top 10. Still
they traded back from 8 to 10. That's
no,
right.
They didn't trade back from 8 to 10. They traded back from 7 to 10.
Oh, my bad.
All right, there we go. Look, I learned a lot from Coach, and you know, I learned a lot on the field, off the field, all those things. And in saying that, you know, I have to do what I believe in, and that's what it comes down to.
Gerard, isn't the most important thing, and I think for us on the outside, we don't really know what's being said on the inside, and
which
I think
is great.
Yeah. And but
then we have a problem,
right? Well, but a lot of the players, they were saying, well, this is the message that Gerard was giving us before he got to the media, and isn't that the most important thing? At least it was for me, is that what the players are getting before the media gets, you know, you're out there and you're giving your post game interviews, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm very open with the players. I'm very transparent. You know, and you would know this, mm-hmm. being a player, like, you have so many people around you that will lie.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll tell you it's not your fault, you know, well, this should have happened, that should have happened. And I feel like my job is to tell you the truth. And I live in truth, and I have no reason to lie. My mom always used to joke around, is it worth going to hell over? I'm like, no, mom, no. And so I try to be very truthful. And again, like, no matter what the noise is outside, I'm very upfront with our players, and I think they appreciate that.
I know you've already said to media this morning that Drake is in concussion protocol. When he came off the field yesterday, what was he feeling? What went into him having to get checked out? And then I know you've said that during halftime, he said to you that he felt like he could go back out there.
Yeah, it was called down from the league, and they, you know, they wanted to do further evaluation. You know, when I went in there at halftime, like, he wanted to go back out there, but obviously he didn't pass the test, and not going to get too far into that, but you know, at the same time, he went out there and threw a couple good balls after put him in the protocol.
Let me get quick to the Hellman's Mayo question of the week. You can purchase Hellman's mayonnaise at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. On that note, on Drake May, Boomer Esiason was on with us earlier this morning talking about young quarterbacks who want to run the ball and don't always take care of themselves. Is that something that you want to keep reminding Drake May?
No, this goes back to like, darn if you do, darn if you don't. You know, and well, we should put him in the first week, or we should put him in here. And it's like, you know, at a certain time, like we're always going to do what's best for the football team. And look, the quarterback is the most important position on the field. I mean, however you feel about that, you know, the quarterback's the most important position on the field, and he has to protect himself a little better.
You're sitting right next to a darned if you don't guy who thinks your record would be 4-4 if you had started Drake May.
Yeah, and the thing about it, that's fine for him to have that opinion. Like, everyone can have that opinion. We also had a guy go out there and get hit 50 times in 4 games or whatever it is, so it's fine.
Yeah. You told the CBS broadcast crew that Drake May had a lot to be thankful for, not just in how Jacoby Brissett handles himself and learning, but that Jacoby Brissett took a beating in those first games that allowed Drake May to come in healthy. What did you think of Jacoby Brissett's comments after the game, where he seemed to take some of the slights personally from the media and the fans as he went in and won that game in the second half?
He's a competitor, and I think, you know, if you do listen to that stuff, you might as well make it a chip on your shoulder so you can go out there and play hard.
Well, give us a little insight, because we hear from him, but he's very quiet. And Christian Gonzalez, as far as what we hear from him, you know, when he comes on this station, give us an insight to what he's like as a player and as a person, because he looks like he has the potential to get into an era of being one of the best corners in the National Football League. What makes him so special? Like, it's been week after week with this guy going against some great players.
Yeah, I would say the good corners that I've played with, where we're talking about Tlaib, or, well, maybe not Tlaib, but Revis and, you know, Gilmore, some of these guys, they're quiet off the field, but once they cross the white lines, it's all business. Mm-hmm. It's all being a competitor. And that's Gonzo. Like, I mean, if you can sit here, you can sit here and try to get whatever you want out of him as far as, like, talking, but when he crosses the white lines, he's a very good player.
Momentum wise, how big was the punt return yesterday?
It was huge, and that goes back to the complimentary football, where, you know, 3-and-out punt return, and we've been saying it for a while now. He's almost popped a few this season, but, you know, good punt return that led to a touchdown. That's what we're trying to do.
Does it feel like a respect thing when you hear the outside noise? I know that you try to block it out, but nobody had picked you guys to win in this one. Then Drake goes down, and I think people expected the Jets for you guys to just roll over and die. Like, does the team talk about that? Do you feel like the guys use that to their advantage to go out there and prove people wrong?
We use the pressure just to get closer as a unit. And once again, you know, it takes on the team takes on the personality of the head coach and the quarterback. And for me, I'm anchored in something that's a lot different than people agreeing or disagreeing with what I do and what I say. So I'm always going to do what's best for the Patriot organization. And I thank the Kraft family for allowing Elliot and myself to run this organization.
You surprised by where Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are right now?
I can't. You know, honestly, I don't get into the other teams. I'm just worried about us. Well, I shouldn't say worried about us, but my only concern is the Patriots.
Well, used to being in the media, does it help you with being able to deal with some of the criticism where people go, oh, he doesn't have experience, or which, I don't, you know, you've been coaching in the NFL for 8 years, so I don't really understand what that is. But does being in the media help with you not letting that frustrate you?
You know, I learned very early in my career at Tennessee. I learned, even here in the NFL, don't Google yourself. Don't type your name into Twitter.
Words to live by.
Hey, I learned that as a player, and I was rookie of the year. And after my rookie year, I was like, you know, everyone around me, I guess, is fickle for the most part, except for my inner circle. So, and once again, like, it's the fan. Look, they pay for those tickets, and they expect to see a team that goes out there and performs well and wins. I understand that. I understand you guys have to, you know, sell advertisements. I understand all that stuff. And so, for me, winning cures all, and I would say, you know, building a sustainable winning organization for the future is also top of mind.
And just, you know, you talk about it all the time, being transparent, and that's what I love about getting the opportunity to have you address all this stuff. I know you essentially said this week you didn't have an issue with guys and how they're conducting themselves when they're not on the field, and, you know, visiting cities.
Can I just go back to that? Like, guys being out in London, simply not true. And so those stories continue to come out where it's just not true.
Not true.
Yeah. So I'm not sure where it's coming from, but I mean, everyone has their sources, again, working in the media. I understand how that works, but it's simply not true.
So nobody missed curfew in London.
We did not have people out in London. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going back to London. I don't want to go back to London. Is this me going back on what I just said? I'm not walking it back. Yeah. What I'm saying is
Nashville, very
true.
Fun city. Maybe put some restrictions in place down there.
Listen,
it's a fun city.
Listen, the guys in the locker room, they do what we need to do to go out there and perform. And look, we'll win or whatever happens. But at the same time, these guys are professionals and they've acted that way.
I know you can't be specific, but Drake May, you think we won't see him for a while, or what's?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? Yeah. Okay.
Well, the internet. Honest.
Yeah, that's honest.
Yeah, that is honest. The internet got me on alcohol prices when at stadium, so believe me. I don't believe anything I see on the internet.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely
do. Yes, he does.
You're on the internet right now.
So. What are you talking about, Wayne?
This is
cap. Google it.
Yeah, but you just were on Instagram, too. I saw you scrolling Instagram. Headlines on Instagram, stealing stories. Come on, man. Do your own work.
Wiki's Wikipedia says he was coach of the year at Brockton.
Coach of the year.
I don't believe anything on the internet.
No, speaking of coaching, just before you go, a little back and forth between you and Coach Wiggins. So it was off air, but I want to ask you, how would you have defended on that Jaden Daniels Hail Mary?
First of all, we said a Hail Mary is a 50-50 ball, and it's not. And
that's what Wiggy said, 50-50 ball.
Right. You know, we can say whatever we want to. It comes down to execution. Whether you want to rush it or you want to cover, it comes down to execution, and you can't have a free guy behind everyone else with nobody boxing them out.
What about other guys like taunting the opposing fans? Is that good while the play is going on?
Yeah, look, if you're going to do that, you better go out there and make a play. Again, going back to how I feel. Look, you can talk all the noise you want to, but you better back it up. You were that guy at the basketball court, like wristbands.
Oh, 100%.
And
I never get in. If we were up by 40, they put me in. All right, Coach Mayo, great to see you. Great job. Thanks. Great win.
No, I appreciate it.
All right, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Good.
All right, our conversation with the coach is brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. We will be back from Gillette Stadium.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I mean, yeah, I called them soft, but I never said they weren't resilient.
I guess.
I mean, technically, I guess that's true.
I mean, he could try to wriggle his way out of it
He said they were soft. That's how he felt in the moment.
And he said
was
they
pissed.
Played soft.
Tried to walk it back a little bit, like he always does. And you're like, all right, that's still noteworthy.
Yep.
Saying that they're playing soft, still not great. And you wonder how the locker room is going to respond to it. So here's my one thought on it.
Yeah.
Actually, I have several. I have about 4 hours worth of thoughts. But one thought I'm gonna tell everybody.
Stretch them out a little bit. We got a lot of time here. Just stretch those
this
out.
This is my last thought of the day, Jones, is I feel like if those comments came later in the season, like week 15, they might just bail and be like, forget it.
Yep.
Free agents, who cares? This guy might be gone. Easier to pack your stuff. But they're all pros, and they're like, we have 10 more games. Like, are we going to let this annoy us? And then also, but then we're the ones out there putting on bad tape, and then we're the ones that could cost us down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this necessarily means they love or hate or somewhere in the middle with their coach. But they did respond in a positive way and got a win. Like, he did one of the most probably offensive things you could do, like, publicly.
Keith,
ripping him.
We played Whitworth last week.
Yeah,
Whitworth
yeah.
was pissed.
They
Max,
couldn't believe it.
Max Crosby said he would fight a coach over that. Like, I mean, that and those are guys without ties to New England. That's not just Bill Belichick and his cronies and ex-players talking about it. These are ex-players in the league talking about it on their platform. It was that big of a story last week.
Well, and what's crazy, too, is we learned when we talked to Big Mike on Wenu last Friday, is Mayo didn't call them soft to their faces.
No.
Like,
I found out when everybody else found out.
Because that's sort of the difference. Remember, like, Bruce Cassidy would destroy the players and then go to the post-game press conference and just destroy them again. But it's not like that was a news to them. Like, Jake DeBrusk probably got yelled at face-to-face, and then he felt it was mean to him and all that stuff.
Yep.
But I think he was pretty consistent with it. Whereas Mayo was like, hey, guys, you know, bad game. Then he goes out there and he's like, we got a soft football team. And they're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
The hell?
Yeah, so I've seen this a lot this week where it was like, well, he didn't say anything that he wasn't saying behind closed doors.
Well, no, apparently he was.
I mean, according to Mike Onwenu, it was different.
Yep.
Now, the message might have been the same, but he didn't call him soft. He didn't use that word in the locker room.
Yeah, words hurt.
Words hurt. Words hurt, Keith. Yeah. Words matter.
Uh-huh.
So, look, I just think they needed this victory to stem the tide. I think that's all they did. I mean, let's see if they really respond to Mayo and start playing better and start to or continue to limit the other team's run game. And, you know, they're a team that can come through in clutch spots like they did yesterday. Like, is this a one-off or is this something where they bottomed out and now they're building back up? It's at bare minimum a one-off and they needed it.
Mm-hmm.
But still yesterday, the Jets averaged 4 yards a carry. They ran for over 100 yards. It wasn't wild, but like,
no.
I thought Breece Hall, they should have used more.
Way
in the
more.
Game. I don't feel like the Patriots stopped him. I feel like the Jets kind of stopped
Breece
Hall.
They were like really trying to make Rodgers' passing attack happen, which I didn't understand. It was like when they played the Jets in week three, the Patriots should have run more and they didn't. And then now this week, the Jets should have run more and they didn't.
But it was an improvement. Like they didn't get gouged like they had
the
weeks
before.
Oh, no, God,
no. So it was better.
It was an improvement and they deserve credit for that. A tough team probably doesn't let the Jets march right down the field and get the go-ahead score.
No.
So that's another strike there. The Jets still scored 20-plus, but that's not an outrageous number.
Nope.
The Patriots did show some toughness. You know, they pounded it on fourth down, Ramondre Stevenson, from like the half-yard line. I thought Brissett showed a lot of toughness by hanging in on that throw to Kayshon Boutte on the 3rd and 10.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think Brissett played pretty well throughout.
Like, the one thing about Brissett is he is tough.
Yeah.
Like, he's not, he's not soft, but I mean, that's... The problem is that was like the number one like superlative of Brissett. Yeah, it's tough. It's like, yes, yeah, because he gets beaten the snot out.
But a lot of times he'll be tough and, just get sacked or he'll take
no
a big
plays.
Hit or he'll throw an incompletion. Like yesterday he hung in and still made the play. And so I thought Brissett played pretty well. This is the role for Brissett. Your starter gets hurt, he comes in and he can play competently.
Yeah.
It's not he's your starter for 17 weeks.
Like
yesterday was the right role for Jacoby Brissett. He can win you a game like that.
Yep.
He's not going to win you a lot of games when he's the starter and that's all you have
from
Jump Street.
And Drake May, in the limited time he was out there, did enough where every single person is thinking, all right, Drake May's the guy. As soon as he's healthy, he's back in there. Brissett kind of can, you know, be the bridge. Hopefully it's not too long. You never know with head injuries. Guys could be out 1 week. They could be out 5 weeks. Like, you have no clue. But, yeah, Brissett went in there. And he did what was asked of him. And I think that's a great story. And I give him credit for sticking with it. Right? He was the starter for 5 weeks.
Yep.
He gets removed. And everyone's like, oh, he's the perfect guy to be a mentor. It's like, well, he's also a human being and he's a competitor. And he wants to play. He wants to be the starter. So he's not. He has to deal with that. But he clearly didn't just, you know, give up on the season or anything like that. And that's what you would expect, right? Like, he's tough, but he's also a professional. And so he went out there and made the most of it. It doesn't mean I want to see him play again. It was just like, hey, good for you, though.
So how much, and Brissett deserves plaudits for that. How much of yesterday was about Mayo? Like, how much did Mayo improve? Did Mayo get anything out of the team? They responded to Mayo. Like, take it wherever you want. But how much of yesterday was about Mayo?
I think it was super important to Mayo. And as far as, you know, what he does, I think the fact that they at least were not checked out is a positive sign for him. I still don't entirely know what he does. Like, I don't think we got that answer.
Handshakes.
Right. He's got a choreographed handshake with AVP.
Was that the kid in play? Somebody tweeted me that. Was that like the kid in play high five? What was that?
No, but so, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
So he gets no credit for offense, right?
Mayo. I wouldn't give him any.
Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty significant.
Not for me.
That's a big part of the game.
Yep.
Special teams, I don't think he's really got a hand in that.
I wouldn't give him that. No.
Okay. So there is a lot. So defense.
Mm-hmm.
Does he get, how much credit does he even get for the defense? Or, like, is that Covington? And then also, like, how good of a performance was it?
I got an email, and I think this is a fair point.
Okay.
It's like, okay, so it sounds like Van Pelt's getting no credit for yesterday. Mayo's getting all this credit.
I think Van Pelt does deserve credit for yesterday.
Me too. I would give Alex Van Pelt credit for yesterday.
Right.
I'm with you on that. But it doesn't feel like he's getting a lot of it. Maybe we'd give it to him, but largely it's, hey, they responded for Mayo, which I think is a little overblown.
Yeah, go ahead.
When it comes to Covington, though, that's the guy who got thrown under the bus last week. And now the defense corrects and we're going to give all the credit to Mayo? Like Covington, if you're going to blame Covington for last week, I wasn't really blaming him. So I was blaming Mayo last week. I'll give Mayo credit. If you were those blaming Covington last week, like what does he do?
Yeah.
Well, then you need to give him some credit for yesterday.
Well, the questions came up, you know, is Mayo going to take over defensive play calling? And he's like, no. And he's like,
definitely not.
He's like, I've never done it. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
I'm just going to stand
there.
He's
like, Covington's done more games than I have. He's a more experienced guy than me.
Yep.
So I think it's like overall, because he is in charge of the entire operation and he called him out and everybody ripped Mayo for calling him out in the manner that he did. The fact that the very next game they come out and win, like I think he gets credit for that. But I would give Van Pelt more credit for planning all week for Drake May to start. Drake May starts, plays pretty well. His receivers are dropping passes. Not Van Pelt's part. He schemed stuff up to get them open.
He schemed wide open stuff for
them. Wide open stuff. Those guys suck. Not his problem. That's an Elliott Wolf problem. And then he has to switch quarterbacks on the fly, which honestly might be one of his calling cards. The Browns played 20 quarterbacks last year when he was there. And then he gets a win, including a final drive, and then sticking with it and not – you know, they get right down to the goal line with Booty, and then he's like, nope, fourth and goal, we're going to hand it off, we're going to give it to Ramondre, and they get the win. Van Pelt deserves probably the most credit out of all the coaches on the staff.
Agreed.
But, I mean, it's the most important still for Mayo.
There are two things I didn't like from, well, one is Van Pelt, the other, I guess, is Mayo, actually, but Van Pelt might have had a hand in it. I hated the opening drive. The opening drive was so bad.
Opening drive was front. Were there boos? I feel like I heard boos.
I don't know.
I was watching on TV, but.
Yeah, Nick, you're nodding back there. There were boos on the opening drive.
I feel like I heard boos multiple times.
Okay, well.
People are really getting a little. Yeah,
so
a little
the first
spicy.
Drive I hated, there were obviously boos at the end of the half.
I was going to say, the end of the half, I hated even more. That was. What are you doing? So they suck at that all the time. They
Who's
don't know
that?
What they're doing.
That's Mayo.
Is that Mayo?
I think we need to blame Mayo for that.
But I don't think Mayo said, third and short, do like a weird QB keeper thing.
Maybe not the play call, but they had already burned all the clock at that. It was 1:51. They had timeouts. It's the guy. It was your week one starter. And they just said, nah, we're not going to go for it.
Every single week that they have had the ball to close the half, whoever is the color commentator has always said, I'd like them to be a little bit more aggressive. We're like, hey, maybe they could maybe do something here. Like the Jets had no timeouts. Like you could go down do something.
Something.
But it's like that in between where at least this time they just ran, but the first two carries got him like 9 yards. Why don't you just hand it to Stevenson one more time to see if he could pop one? But they're like, no, we're going to do like a weird fake tush push and then just kind of fall down horizontally along the line and then run the clock.
They were content. They wanted the half.
But that's awful.
Of course it's awful.
You know what that is?
What?
It's coaching soft.
It's coaching soft. That's not. That's
soft coaching.
That's a soft coaching aspect is what it is. A soft coaching move for sure.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones. Dave in New Hampshire, you happy with the win yesterday?
No, not really. Neither of these teams wanted to win that game. No, you win. No, you win. So they are what they are. Let's not get carried away.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't think anybody's getting carried away.
Yeah, we're doing our best not to get carried away.
We were just asking if you were happy about the win, which I am.
I also think it helps.
I don't need this team to tank, by the way. No. You already have the quarterback. We've said this a million times. If you didn't have the quarterback, tank away. But you have the quarterback, and so I don't really care if you're drafting third or fifth or eighth. That doesn't really bother me, and none of that was at stake yesterday. So I'm happy with the win.
I just
would have been happier if it were Drake May.
I also love beating the Jets.
Yeah.
You know, the Jets are supposed to be good. This was supposed to be a get-right game for them, and they lose. Because we talked briefly last week about, you know, what would happen for both teams if they lost. And you're like, all right, well, the Patriots is just this downward spiral continues. It's 7 straight losses. But it's like, you already know it's a bad team. If the Jets lose, like, what do you do there? You just traded for Adams. You fired your head coach already. The new coach has had 3 games. They've lost all 3 of them. Like, can you fire that guy? Like, how far can you go down? So, like, that to me is just comical that the Jets lost. Like, that's unreal.
Yeah. And you know,
they still have 9 games to go. Like, what is that going to look like?
They acquired, as you said, Davante Adams. Aaron Rodgers complaining after the game. They've made all these moves.
They got the Texans on Thursday,
and they're a complete disaster. And they're not even heavy underdogs in that
they're
game.
Like point and a half dogs at home. Ruff, ruff. They're going to bark a little bit.
No. I'm saying buying opportunity on the other side.
Do we go heavy Texans?
Maybe heavy Texans.
We go heavy Texans.
It's a discussion.
Nick,
for Thursday.
Do you push you all in on Texans? All the chips?
Empty the account.
Yeah, I'll empty the account that has not much money in it.
Oh, Nick!
these bozo touchdowns are killing us!
I did have a lot of Drake May props associated with my parlays this week. So.
It wasn't my best gambling or fantasy weekend, but the Patriots won, which we're feeling good about. 617-779-7937. How about that wide receiver room? What a day yesterday. And I guess Kayshon Booty kind of salvaged it at the end, but what a mess. More issues in the wide receiver room. We'll get to it next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports.
With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, and joining us right now on the hotline is Jacoby Brissett. He's brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with five New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com, and by Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Get next day delivery with removal and disposal at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Mr. Brissett, do we have you?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, well, good to talk with you, and what a game yesterday, a game that I'm sure you weren't expecting to be thrust into in the way that you were. It seemed like afterwards, talking to the media, you were very high, riding high on that one. Are you still riding high again this morning and today, this afternoon?
I wouldn't say I was riding high. I think it was more of, obviously happy that we won, but I wouldn't consider it was anything out of the norm for me.
Did you feel vindicated, I guess, because you said a couple things post-game that kind of stuck out to everyone. One about, you know, it's hard to win in the NFL, even though we as media maybe don't acknowledge it, and that you had confidence in yourself, even if we didn't. So were you a little bit offended by some of the coverage? I'm just wondering what those comments were about.
I think that's just the nature of the league and people who haven't, you know, been in it, when have the comments that some people do. And, you know, I really don't know what the word vindicated means, but I definitely, I wouldn't say offended. It was more of just, you know stating the obvious.
Okay. I'm not sure what that is, but, that throw to Kayshon Booty, you said that you didn't see the rush coming after the game there. The throw seemed to be in the perfect place for where the blitzer was coming from. When did you know that that was the way you wanted to go with that ball?
Based on the coverage, I knew that was going to have to be who had got the ball. You know, it was more of being able to get it out there, which I didn't think I got it out there well enough based on, like, my legs got kind of, like, taken out of, from under me. But, you know, Booty made a great play, play that we needed at the right time. And, it was just a matter of you know, trying to give him a chance. And, you know, he did the rest. I think he did the hard part on the play rather than me.
Just rewinding a little bit, so you saw something with Drake May that led you to believe he wasn't quite right. How did that go on the sideline?
I didn't think that was the case. I was just as unaware as everybody else was, so I didn't expect him to not come back in the game. That was for sure.
Okay. When you did get the call and you knew that it was going to be probably your game for the rest of there, considering it was concussion protocol, you'd been sitting and sort of watching for the last 5 weeks. How'd the offense feel differently from maybe it did in the last game that you played in?
I wouldn't say different. I mean, it was different for me being back in there. That's for sure. Just because any time off from playing, you know, it takes a little while to get back into it, obviously. But obviously, you know, without having those reps and practice and things like that, you can't really match the intensity of football. So I think it was more of me just adjusting rather than anything.
The wide receiver position, I guess there's been a lot of noise around. I don't know if that's how exactly I would describe it. You know, criticism from the outside, and those guys have been kind of on social media saying things. There were some drops yesterday. How have you seen that group kind of handle everything that's been going on to the point where, obviously, Booty made a couple big catches for you to help you win that football game?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the nature of the course of the league, you know, and you know, it's ups and downs and anything, you know. And I think, you know, those guys coming in to work each and every day and you know, and finding ways to go out to the field and make those plays, what they do on their social media and what they do on the media, that that I have no control or really care what they do, to be honest with you. But, I mean, I just know that the work that they go, those guys put in and how they, you know, come in and work every day and put their best foot forward, and that's all you can ask for as a teammate.
Have you heard anything about your status for this upcoming week? And if not, when do you expect to?
I haven't, and I think I'm on the program of I hear when you guys hear or I hear whenever I need to know. So I guess I don't know anything right now.
What has it been like for you the last few weeks? What has your role been? We even saw you, it seemed like, interacting on the sideline early in the game with Coach Mayo, a lot of conversations with him. What has sort of your role been like behind the scenes doing the backup quarterback duties, being a mentor to Drake, whatever else you've been up to?
I mean, it's just, I think it's, that thing is, I think it's hard every week. I mean, it's just more of like, you figure out your role and what you got to do that week based on, you know, situations and things like that, you know, you know, and just finding ways to stay in tune and be a part of this team and help the guys out, help Drake out, help where I can and, you know, I figure out, you know, I guess I'll know at the end of the year what my whole, as a whole, what my role was when I look back on it. But right now it's just, you know, week to week trying to figure out what my role is each week, you know.
You talked earlier about reporters and, you know, people like us maybe not knowing everything that goes on behind the scenes. What would you say is something that people often get wrong about you or maybe your role on this team?
Man, I don't want to get into it. I mean, people just don't know me. I mean, like I said, everybody has what their vision of what the results that they want, and when they don't get it or when things just don't roll that way, it's so easy to, you know, to I guess try to figure out something as if they could make that decision, you know. So you know, I don't really get into like telling people what my role is. I just go out there and do the best that I can and you know, take it day by day.
Do you feel like you're one of the 32 starting caliber quarterbacks in the NFL?
That's very easy.
Is that a yes, I should assume?
Oh yes, that's very easy to understand that.
Okay. I would imagine.
Just making sure.
That's probably not an easy no if that's where we're going, if it's very easy. All right, the quarterback question of the week.
No, not at all.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. They are the experts in treating men's sexual health with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. This one comes to us from Reggie in Watertown. And Jacoby, he asked, was that the best game that you ever came into mid-game? Was that would you think in your career, the best performance that you had in a game that you didn't start?
I wouldn't say so. No, it wasn't.
What was your best?
I mean, I've been in this league for a while. I had to come in a lot. That's a hard question for me to ask. I know it wasn't my best. I've come in, a couple times. It's just, I didn't even think I'd play that well. I think a lot of guys have made a lot of plays. So, I have to think about that question.
How important was this win for the Patriots, for Jerod Mayo, all the stuff last week about calling the team soft and people responding to that? How important was this win to help this football team take a step forward?
It was important because we needed one. You know, we're obviously going through a slump and trying to figure out ways to finally do get a win. You know, I mean, we've had a couple games where we've been able to fight in and it's obviously the ball doesn't bounce our way. So, you know, you have to figure out on those losses how to actually win. And I think yesterday was a chance that we, you know, kind of, you know, found a way to get over that hump in the middle of the game and actually do come out with a win. I think that's good for a team that's still trying to build something, that's still, you know, moving in the right direction. Is just a matter of, you know, when things do start to roll our way. And, you know, we definitely needed that one in the worst way, especially a division win at home.
Along those lines, does it annoy you as a professional, putting your body on the line, if and when you hear fans talk about draft picks and wanting to lose games to get better draft picks and things of that nature?
That's just one of those things, like I kind of alluded to earlier. It's just like people that don't really know, like, what about being in this profession and being doing this job is, whereas they just come up with crazy ideas and crazy things to say just to, you know, waste time, you know. But I mean, you got guys on this team that are professionals and this is how they feed their family. They're not going out there trying to, I doubt anybody on this team cares about a draft pick or anything like that.
All right, Jacoby, before we let you go here, as a quarterback in the NFL, do you feel protected out there? Because there was no flag on that play with May. You've taken a bunch of shots this year, some that I thought deserved some flags out there. Overall, do you feel like things are fair for you guys out there and that they're moving in a positive direction player safety-wise?
I mean, I think all the rules changes are literally to protect the quarterback. Some of the things they're going to miss, some of the things they're not, it's like I thought it was a penalty, but I mean, along the lines of, you know, if they don't call it, they don't see it, you know what I mean? One of those things. But I do think at certain points, but you know, I don't know. I can't officiate a game, so I really don't know how to do it. But for the most part, most of the rule changes are literally to protect the quarterback. So I don't know.
All right, well, we'll leave it right there then. Jacoby Brissett, thanks so much for the time. Good luck this week against Tennessee, and we'll talk to you maybe, or we won't. Either way, it's been nice. Thanks, Jacoby.
Sounds good, thank you.
All right, that's Jacoby Brissett, quarterback who led the comeback against the Jets yesterday here at Gillette Stadium. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the New York Jets. I put it off long enough. We did a little bit on them, but we need to take a deep dive into exactly what went wrong with this team and how long it's going to take to get them back on track if things keep going this way, and what's up with Aaron Rodgers. That's all coming up next.
It is a Tie Tuesday, and the Hall of Famer this week presented by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and by 110 Grill, gluten-free dining done right. And good morning and hello, Ty Law.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm hanging. I'm so tired, man. I had to pivot and go to DR. I forget. My schedule's so crazy. I forget. I had to go down there to a wedding. I promised a good friend of mine that I'll be there. So now I'm in Florida, and I got to head to L.A. today. Damn it, I'm tired, guys.
So you were in the DR, Dominican Republic, I assume, is what you're saying.
Dominican Republic, yes. Yes, it was a good time down at the Hard Rock. Yep.
Yeah, and this was Giselle's marriage?
Quick, man.
We had to dump out of that, but no S.
Yeah,
yes,
quick.
Man, I didn't know that. Oh, man. I mean, I guess congratulations are in order, I guess, but I didn't know that one.
Every baby is a blessing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm saying. Hey, amen. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that one. Man. Well, y'all like TMZ of Boston. Y'all get all the scoop. Damn.
Well, it's kind of everywhere.
It's news. But I Wiggy is upset because he thinks that there should be a proper waiting time after a divorce.
I don't even know if the paper's dry on Giselle and Tom's divorce.
How long did you see? You said 3 years.
Yeah, I'd say like 3 years, especially
so
when somebody
gets divorced and they're not with somebody else for 3 years.
Well, are you talking about soulmates? You were saying he was a soulmate and they were soulmates and all this. I mean, that quickly? Really?
It's quick, Wiggy, but I mean, life, you got to move on, man. I mean, somebody in the jail or prison or something, you know what I mean?
Well, clearly
you got to move on, bro.
She was humping around while Brady was still playing because that was extremely quick.
You can't say that. It don't take but one time, Wiggy.
Good point.
She brought him on vacation with the kids. So
it don't take but one time, man. A lot of fellas, I'll take one time, man.
They were best friends that fell in love.
Bullseye. Yeah, damn it.
He bullseyed her, all right. Sounds like he wants a bag is what he wants. Brady better not be paying.
Wiggy.
No,
why can't it be true love, man? I mean, let's be happy for me. You know, blended family is good, man.
I ain't buying that.
Yeah, and then again, she can have 12 kids. Yeah, that's Giselle Bundchen. Yeah, she can afford them.
You think Tom thinks it's true love?
Huh?
Tom was buddies with the guy.
Hey, I know a lot of people out there that got kids that wasn't true love, but did they get true love for their kids?
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, on to sports and a big win for the New England Patriots on Sunday against the Jets.
That was a huge win. But you know, storming the field like you won a Super Bowl, I thought that's a little excessive. But hey, so I say, see, y'all don't say it. I'm going to say it. I mean, I think it's a great win. You beat the Jets. I mean, it's the worst division in football, but I think it's good for the team morale, especially when, you know, Jacoby Brissett, he gets to get back in and close the game out. I like what I'm seeing from Drake May and a couple guys, but let's just be realistic. They still need an overhaul, but it was a great, great team win, especially against a division rival. But let's say what it is. The division stinks.
The narrative is from some that this team responded to Jerod Mayo calling them soft. Do you agree with that?
I mean, that is a good response with a win. I mean, that's the narrative that we can talk about. But I think anybody that's a competitor on the team, when your head coach says that about you, you want to go out there and prove something. And I think they did. But, again, you would like to see that. First of all, I didn't know the Jets was that bad. Oh, my goodness. I mean, great win, but against a bad team. The Jets are all over the place. Now, I've seen across the ticker that is – Adams, he's requesting another trade.
Is he?
Is that what's going on?
I don't know. I didn't see that. Yeah. I did not see that.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen it pop up on my feed that he asked for, not on TV, but on my feed,
right,
that he was requesting another trade. So I was like, I don't know if that's true or not. But again, the Patriots, great win. You know, I hope May is coming back. He's coming back next week. But it was a good team win. But they still need a lot of help, you know, and this offseason is going to be very important.
It surprised you. There were significant moments where Aaron Rodgers was making mental errors. You know, when it came to delay of games and not being able to figure it out on the 2-point conversion and didn't like what he saw or whatever his excuse is. Did that surprise you about Aaron Rodgers?
It does, because he's been, you know, such a great quarterback for so long. That just lets you know that the team and the organization right now is in disarray. And not even the great Aaron Rodgers can fix it. You know, I think, you know, from what we're looking at right now, it's a colossal failure with, you know, the addition of Aaron Rodgers, which no one thought that, because he's that elite of a quarterback. He's that great of a player over a period of time. And, you know, surefire first ballot Hall of Famer. But this is not working. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, you know, moving on, because he's going to be there. But next year, would he be there? What's it going to do with the head coach? I mean, they're all over the place in New York. So I'm glad that New England, as far as a rebuilding team, you know, a young team, considering young head coach, got to beat Aaron Rodgers. So that's good for the morale. But again, the division stinks.
Ty, would you say Aaron Rodgers, despite what you just described, right, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, do you think it's an underachievement, his career, given how much talent he has, only getting to one Super Bowl?
Well, he got to it in one. I mean, you think about some of the all-time greats that are in the Hall of Fame that can't say that, you know, Dan Marino being one of them. I mean, at one time, he was the pinnacle at the quarterback position. He only has no Super Bowls. He went to one and didn't win, so at least Aaron Rodgers, you know, can call himself a champion, you know, and at the end of the day, when you say Hall of Famer, this many Pro Bowls, you're going to see champion with Aaron Rodgers, so you got to give him credit. But as far as the conversation, as far as being, you know, one of, like the GOAT, or, you know, that conversation was coming up before because of his talent, you know, that, you know, you he's not on that list anymore. I mean, he's going to be one of the GOATs as a Hall of Famer, but like the GOAT as far as his talent, you know, that is, unless he can manage to play 10 more years, which I doubt, you know, he's out of that conversation.
Ty, they get a win, which is great, but they have an issue when it comes to drops. It seemed like Drake and Jacoby were able to hit their receivers in the chest, in the hands, but guys just couldn't hang on to the ball. How frustrating is that for the rest of the team to watch that in real time, but then also having to watch the tape of all those drops?
I mean, it's very frustrating, and that's when quarterbacks lose faith in the receiver. I mean, Tom Brady will shut you down if you can't catch the ball. You know, he can't trust you, and I know a lot of great quarterbacks do that. But what else do they? What other options do they have? You have to keep throwing it around when it comes to certain teams. You got to keep giving opportunities. You don't have, like I said, don't have that many options. So You know, as a defensive player, it's like, what are you doing? It's like, I think I would equate that to a basketball player going to the free throw line. Make the free throw, man. Come on, you got to make that. You in the pros. Or if it was a chip shot for a kicker. Come on, man. You got to make that one. You know what I mean? So it's very frustrating for a team, but more frustrating for the quarterback.
Have you ever seen a group of wide receivers who do less and think more of themselves than this group?
You know what? You know, it is like, that's the receiver mentality, though. So I can't say so much, but you got to go out there and do something. You got to have some resume or build a resume to be able to say certain things, you know, as a player. But receivers, they just have that, you know, uncanny ability to talk trash and bring attention to themselves when they ain't doing nothing. I think that's been, you know, for years, this has been happening. You know what I mean? They just think all the time, which is a good thing to have, that you're the best on the field. I need the ball more. Just throw me the damn ball. You know, and, you know, the great Keyshawn Johnson, and he used to love that one. So I think every receiver has that mentality. But sometimes, just no matter of fact, all the time, you know, put up or shut up. That's how I say with a receiver. Because now you're talking from a DB perspective, because a lot of them will catch one ball and swear they did something. You know what I mean? So that's just the receiver mentality.
Time now for the most entertaining play of the game, brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Experience the thrills at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Nominations?
Punt return?
Yeah, the punt returns.
Okay.
I mean, the game-winning touchdown.
But Drake May.
My guy can scoot.
Yeah, Drake May can run. I got to give him Drake. I mean, he didn't get to play, you know, much. He had to go out with the concussion. But when he started the game and running the ball like that gives you promise. We see he can throw the ball, too, but using his legs is something that, you know, New England hasn't seen in a long time, because Tom Brady, he didn't have to use his legs. So now we got a quarterback. You know, we're not going to put him in the Lamar Jackson, you know, category or anything like that, or Michael Vick, but he can use his legs better than most quarterbacks in the league.
So can his ex-wife. All right. We are going We are Ty Law. We are going to thank you so much for taking the time, as always. Big week for you. Anything big going on this week?
No. I'll be trick or treating in L.A. You know what I mean? So I'll be out there, you know, with my daughter. You know, they. You know, checking candy. I mean, I think we still need to do that out there, guys. No matter what neighborhood you live in, still check your kids' candy. You know, still some weird people out there. So you know.
I just want to send
that out to the parents.
If you could only, I heard Rich and Adam Jones doing this yesterday, so I'd ask you, if you could only steal one candy from your daughter after Halloween, what would that candy be?
Me, I'm a Reese's guy.
Yes.
I like a Reese's
Everybody
cup.
Is.
Yes.
It's a perfect, it's a
yeah,
perfect
but you know
treat.
What?
Hunter Henry.
Some
is.
People go get the, he's man, but you got to watch, you got to squeeze it first to see if it's fresh. If it's hard, don't eat that one. That's some dry ass peanut butter, man. I hate when they go get the old candy. You know, I think they put the big bag of candy. A lot of times they don't put the fresh stuff in there. So, you know, they need to do better with the candy stuff.
All right. Ty Law, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take it easy. Yep.
All right.
I'm Reese's all day
Me
long.
Me too.
I think it's the number one most popular candy in Massachusetts, I believe.
Which one do you prefer?
I like the basic ones, like the two,
the
pack.
White, you like the white chocolate one?
No, I like the two pack with the little round
right,
Reese's.
Right, but they have the for trick-or-treating, they give out the two pack, but it's the single, right?
Yeah.
One in there. But then they have the one that's wrapped up in the kind of like the aluminum foil.
That's the same. It's the single one?
No. One's
peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah, but one's smaller.
I see what you're saying.
One's the smaller, shorter
little,
one. No, it's like the
thins. They have like the white chocolate
no,
thins.
No, you're missing
I like
it.
Those because I'm on a diet.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They're the smaller, thicker boys.
Yeah, they're the smaller, thicker boys.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're
Those are
like,
good, too. Those are poppable.
Yeah, because I feel like those are big on Thanksgiving, like, because they come in the bag where they just kind of drop them. You peel it out like the aluminum, the aluminum foil looks like a Hershey's Kiss, but it's Reese's.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk question four with Eliza Dushku. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending?
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants and Pubs. The Celtics took down the Bucks 119 to 108 last night. It was Peyton Pritchard's night, going off for 28 points, nailing 8 of his 12 three-pointers to tie the franchise record for threes off the bench. Peyton now leads the NBA in points and three-pointers off the bench. Jaylen Brown led the way with 30 points to get to the C's 4-0 record so far this season. And Monday Night Football saw Steelers win over the Giants 26-18. The final with Russell Wilson completing 20 of 28 passes for 278 yards and a touchdown. The Dodgers continue to roll in the World Series. They took down the Yankees 4-2 in Game 3 in the Bronx. They won all three of those games. We've got a Bruins game tonight. They're in action. They take on the Flyers at the TD Garden. Puck drop is at 7. And kids eat free at the 99 restaurants on Halloween. Visit the 99 for lunch or dinner, and kids get a free meal from the kids menu with every adult entree purchased. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
44 degrees in Boston, partly cloudy, afternoon high at 57. Things I never thought I'd say on WEEI in the morning. Coming up next, psychedelics with Eliza Dushku.
Joining us, as he does every Tuesday, on a Tommy Tuesday on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, is Tommy Curran. NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by D'Angelo's Sandwiches, New England Sandwich Shop, and our sandwich shop on Tuesdays. We just ripped apart a number 9 here as a show. FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com. And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're hearing this, chances are you're less than 20 minutes away from the closest Awaken 180. A once-a-week lunch break, a quick stop on the way from work, minutes away from proven weekly weight loss. Awaken180weightloss.com. Tommy Curran, we apologize for running late. We were elbows deep in Halloween candy is what we were talking about. The important stuff, you know?
100%. And Kit Kats must be in the mix.
Oh, they were goat tier. Yeah. They were goat tier.
Good.
All right. That's your go-to? Is that your pick?
Yeah, but I mean, the older you get, the more discerning you become about chocolate.
Yeah.
I find. So I've kind of become a chocolate snob. If it's not Dove, Ghirardelli, Lindt, I'm really interested.
Is that what your hand? Is that what the Currens hand out?
No.
No,
oh, God,
no. No, he saves those.
You save those for yourself. I see.
Yeah, no, we're going to squirrel those away for Tommy, yeah.
Perfect. Well, the Patriots squirreled away a win this past week. Is this a one-off? I know you wrote about this at NBC Sports Boston. The Jets are such a disaster, or is this something they can build off of?
It has to at least kind of stanch the bleeding, and I think that's what they needed badly. Someone mentioned on our post-game show, you know, what does this do for Mayo? And I said, basically, it's a block of driftwood in a raging sea that I think the team was able to jump on and cling to. How long they were able to hold to the driftwood and continue to have at least positive outcomes, we'll see. I mean, we all understand that the Jets were very complicit in that loss, but it doesn't really matter. They're not at a point where you can have caveats attached to, well, it wasn't that impressive. They need any kind of positivity, and they have a team that lost 52-14 on Sunday. So coming up on Sunday in the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, they can make some hay, I would suppose.
The when Drake May got hurt, and after the game, Mayo said that, hey, you know, maybe he's going to do a better job protecting himself. Jones and I were both kind of surprised by that, because there are certain examples where you see quarterbacks. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo kind of famously did that, trying to get an extra yard on the sideline. Some guys dive head first. Drake May was sliding, and he picked up a first. Like, I thought it was a good play, and that was the safe play. What did you make of those comments after the game?
I think that, again, it might be an instance with Gerard when he's commenting after the game without doing a full breakdown of what he might have seen. I don't know what Drake May could have possibly done differently. It wasn't a face-on blow that he said, oh, I'm going to try and just get this last yard here, and then I'll slide, inviting the hit. He was kind of stumbling. The guy was coming from his blind side. It was a later slide than you would ideally think, but I don't think you could really see the guy coming from the direction he was. I wonder what Gerard would say, and maybe we can ask him tomorrow as to what he saw from May that needs correcting on that, because, you know, he has a tendency sometimes to say, okay, well, we saw this. But I think when you do break it down, there's very little he could have done. I don't know what he would have done differently.
Yeah.
Talking to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. And it's time now for Tom's Flex of the Game, presented by FlexCar.
Already?
Yeah, you can ditch the dealership.
Early flex.
And save thousands with FlexCar. I thought we'd switch it up this week, Tom. What's your Flex of the Game?
My Flex of the Game is Jacoby Brissett in general, and then his post-game flex about redemption and the lack thereof. I mean, I think he is entitled to have his nose out of joint about the conversation surrounding him that I took part in. He was tethered to a horrific situation that only got worse when the season began. So he did have a right to be miffed about being summarily benched in favor of Drake May. As realistic as we all understood what the Patriots situation was, as realistic as we all were about it, and as well as Drake May has played, I think that the conversation around Jacoby, that, again, I engaged in plenty of his inability to make quick decisions and take sacks and play too cautiously, he has a right to stand up there. So it wasn't a bad flex, in my opinion, by Jacoby Brissett to say, I'm not as bad as you guys all think I am.
How much credit do you give Alex Van Pelt for the uptick in scoring over the last 3 weeks?
I give the entire group a fair amount of credit. I'm, again, not breaking out the sheet cake about it.
No.
But to seeing how bad they were, and I would include Scott Peters in the offensive line a lot. When you look at that offensive line that they started, Vidarian Lowe was not supposed to be your starting left tackle. Michael Jordan was not supposed to be the left guard. We didn't even know him. Ben Brown was not supposed to be your starting center. On when it was, where it was supposed to be. And, DeMontre Jacobs was not supposed to be a right tackle. So you have to give credit to the fact that that group only allowed two sacks on Sunday, held up pretty well, managed okay on some short yards. They weren't rototilling people on the ground, but they opened enough holes against a very good front. So I give credit to Van Pelt, Scott Peters, the offensive linemen themselves. And I give Van Pelt credit for, again, the development of May. I really do. And I give Brissett all the credit in the world for individually just kind of sucking it up, dealing with a crappy situation for this year. We'll see what happens next year with him. And just coming out and performing like a professional.
Patriots made a trade yesterday. Joshua Uche to the Kansas City Chiefs for a sixth rounder in 2026. What do you think of the trade, and how active do you think the Patriots will be between now and the deadline?
He just hasn't been a good fit here. As Belichick pointed out on the Pat McAfee show, when you have a team that's behind, and this happened with Uche last year as well, he barely played. There were games where he was down around 20 snaps, 15 snaps. And that's because the team was behind. And he is a situational pass rusher. He's a small guy for an edge player. He does get off the ball extremely fast. He can bend. It's too bad that the team wasn't able to find a role for him because, you know, there were some Brewski-like rushing tendencies that I saw from Josh Uche over the period of the 3 years he was here. But really, when you look at his production, it was a three-game stretch where he went absolutely berserk in 2022, and I think he had like 7 or 8 sacks. But other than that, they haven't been able to find a role for him. So he can go be an Elvis Dumervil for the Kansas City Chiefs, but there should be no rock kicking here if he performs well there. He's a liability against the run, and they couldn't put him on the field because of his being undersized.
Where do you – any other moves you think up Elliott Wolf's sleeve? I think more likely departures, but any chance they're looking to bring somebody in?
I'd say departures would be more likely, but can you guys really summon anybody who would have value elsewhere to a team?
So no, I don't think they have much value.
Bourne, Godchow?
Yeah, to me it's more
Bourne, Osborne, or Godchow, right.
Yeah, and it's more about opportunity. Like I don't for the guys that are left and like maybe breaking up a logjam rather than it is like, "Oh, you might be able to get like a seventh." Like I think if you move on from Bourne and Osborne, all right, now we have to see Baker play. We have to see, you know, Polk and Pop and all the booty. Like those guys have to play. So I just went plus, you know, a guy like KJ Osborne clearly seems unhappy. I think Kendrick Bourne is a, you know, good, solid professional, maybe the only one in that entire position group. But,
right,
you know, he could definitely be traded as well.
Yeah, but it's hard to push away from the table on those guys when you do need stability in your locker room at this juncture. And honestly, I think overall, the stability lent by Godshaw and Bourne is not the stability we would have necessarily thought, I think, during the Bill Belichick regime, because Godshaw will basically say anything. And whether my teammates are selfish, Aaron Rodgers can't play, guys are out there doing their own thing, guys quit. I mean, he is leading in a fashion, but it's a little bit of a flamethrower fashion to a degree, but he is a talented enough player where I would say, okay, we'll keep him here because he gives a crap. Same thing with Bourne. I don't know if it was necessarily to the good. I think it's great for us. We find out that the wide receivers are immature. But as a leader, I think he's trying to hold guys' feet to the fire. But I think within the locker room, they're like, what are you doing? You're killing us here.
No, so, it's fair.
But I would keep them. Mm-hmm. Osborne can go. I just don't know what his market would be. And if you're going to add somebody, just make sure he's just a card-carrying professional football player, a professional football player, just takes the job seriously.
Yeah, they got a lot of those in the wide receiver room these days. So I'm curious, Tom, we were kicking this around earlier. Both Keith and I would go right back to Drake May the second he's ready. I'm assuming he's not going to play this week. Maybe that's a faulty assumption by me. Concussion protocol, difficult for any player to clear, never mind a quarterback.
You're right about that.
And so I'm assuming he's not going to play. Let's say they win against Tennessee, and they won last week against the Jets, and Jacoby Brissett was their starter week one. He's got three wins and two in a row. Is there any chance he keeps the job beyond this week?
I'm just going to go on default and say you play your best player, and we can tell that Drake May is their best player. So if they didn't go back to a fully cleared Drake May, that would really make me say, well, why would you not do that unless you're trying to tank? And Jacoby's not going to go out there and lose games on purpose. So I would think that would cause an undue amount of consternation, to put it mildly, as to, like, we've all seen he's probably, you know, let's not get overboard here, Tom, but he's probably one of the top 12 to 22 quarterbacks in the league already. That might be aggressive. Is that aggressive?
No, it's actually not. We were doing this.
It's just a wide range, 12 and 22. Keith said earlier.
Well, I didn't want to go crazy.
I think he said 16.
16. Well, I think 16.
Keith said 16. That would basically split your difference. So I think you're right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to – and Jacoby's probably 32nd to 35th.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? I would say you go right back to him when he's cleared.
Jalen Polk obviously is off to a really bad start to his career, and I thought he should have sat the London game, and he didn't, and it got a little bit worse, but then he got a concussion, and so he missed this past week. Is that a guy you think they would just throw right back into the lineup when he's healthy, or is there something to be said for him maybe, you know, taking a couple of weeks off?
I'd put him back in there. It can't continue. And I would just continue firing balls at him like I'm a jugs machine.
Yep.
Just get him through it. Just keep throwing it to him. He is not – I mean, I remember saying at the end of camp when we were just, you know, idly talking on Early Edition about different players, and I would say, look, I haven't seen Jalen Polk drop a ball the entire camp. So he's a very dependable player. He's in the places that he seems to be. The team believes in him, so that's a check mark for him. And so this is, to me, just – completely out of character in terms of the hand situation. So I would say throw him back in the pool, throw him the ball, keep throwing him the ball, get him out of it.
One more. Any better read on what went down in London? Patriots have been very cagey about it, but some players have spoke about it. I know your colleague Phil Perry reported on it. Mike Reese reported on it. Any greater understanding on what went down in London with that wide receiver group?
I think it was a missed curfew, as still reported with Javon Baker. I don't think it was an extreme out until 4 a.m. missed curfew, but it's a 9:30 game our time, and I think, you know, it was an early game. I don't know what the time deal was, but it wasn't extreme. I think it was well before midnight is what my understanding is, but it was still a missed curfew. So that's my best estimate of what it was. But, you know, when Kendrick Bourne spoke, it seemed to encompass a hell of a lot more than just, hey, somebody was out a little bit late. It seemed to encompass attention to health, attention to nutrition, attention to detail, which we've seen the attention to detail is really lacking with the group as it is, and the attention to self-awareness. So hopefully they can work on those things. But that's my, just from Phil's reporting on that.
Okay. He's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. It's Tommy Tuesday, every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. He's got Quick Slants tonight on NBC Sports Boston. He'll be on with WEEI Afternoon's Arcand and Hart on Thursday, so tune in for that. Tom, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. And joining us on the hotline right now is ESPN's Adam Schefter, who's brought to you by Liberty Bank and by Coleman. It's electric. Mr. Schefter, do we have you?
Christian and Andy, how are we doing?
We're doing great. It's great to have you here today as we approach the trade deadline in the NFL. There's reports and rumors out there right now, Adam, that the Patriots, despite being one of the teams that generally are sellers at the deadline, may end up trying to do a little buying. Are you hearing anything like that? And how do you think this trade deadline is going to go for a team like the Patriots? Do you think they'll be active?
Well, I think every team's always looking, and you're not ruling out anything. Again, I think I'd be terribly surprised if you're waiting for them to make some big blockbuster move. I wouldn't expect that. But if you could get a young, talented player on the cheap that you might have a chance to resign, yeah, you'd look at that. But I think that's just – I might be wrong. I just think it's them doing their job. You know, like, what are you going to say? No, we're not looking. We're shutting things out, and we're not interested in anybody that can help improve this team. Like, does that make any sense? So I'm not saying that they – won't make moves. Let's see what happens here. I have not heard them linked to anybody in particular. I don't know how many good young players teams are looking to just give away. And yeah, if there were an opportunity to add talent, of course you're going to do that.
Adam, you've been doing this a long time. It feels like the trade deadline in the NFL gets more interesting almost every year. I mean, even this year, Hall of Fame wide receivers are being traded, number one wide receivers. Do you agree with that? Has it grown more active over the years, and do you know why that is?
Yeah, well, I think it's a few reasons. I think that there is a younger, more aggressive breed of general managers, and I think some of the older, more traditional general managers have left the league, and some of the young ones have come in and made trades, and sometimes the trades, as was the case with the Rams a few years ago, help the team win a Super Bowl. When other teams see that, I think that they feel inspired. Now, I've had GMs point out to me, coaches point out to me that a lot of times these trades don't wind up doing good for the teams that acquire the player, in many cases. That's certainly debatable, and that's certainly been the case with a number of trades. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's undeniable that the level of activity has increased in recent years. I think it's increased because the GMs are younger, more aggressive. They're following the analytics model. They've seen some teams have success. They don't want to sit around. It's just become a little bit more active. And the thing this year is that the trades have happened earlier than usual, too. Like, it used to be that we would get 3, 4, 5 trades before the deadline. Now we're getting 2, 3 trades a week leading up to the deadline. So while we're all waiting for a busy day on Tuesday, and it will be busy in this country for a lot of reasons, I don't know how much of it's going to have to do with the NFL trade deadline.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's going to be, we may be having lots of different conversations related to those types of things. The Patriots, though, sort of fit the mold. I heard you last week, Adam, talking about Carolina and how they may be shedding some of their wide receivers. Deontay Johnson ends up getting traded. DeAndre Hopkins traded away from Tennessee, another team that's sort of down there at the bottom. That's generally the way these things go. And with that in mind, the Patriots have already sort of gotten in on the act here, trading Josh Uche to the Kansas City Chiefs. So I guess sort of in terms of team building, you're right. You know, these are younger and more aggressive GMs trying to build teams in a different way that doesn't necessarily involve giving out huge contracts or making sure that you hit on every draft pick. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, listen, again, the teams that are in the spot, like the Panthers, like, they have another decision to make, I think, on Adam Thielen. Do I think they want to trade Adam Thielen? No. Do I think they want to keep him around? Yeah. Is he 34? Yes. Is he going to be back next season? Probably not. So if that's the case, why would you not do your organization and him a favor and move on and trade him? And so they could say that they don't want to trade him all they want, but logic says to me that the right thing to do is to move on from a guy like that. I you know, and every team has decisions to make that are like this. It's not simple. Like, you know, the Patriots made one with Josh Uche this week, right? They sent him to Kansas City. They didn't get a whole lot back in return, but they felt like that was the right move to make. So, you know, again, every situation, every team's different, every player's different, but that's kind of where we're at going into Tuesday.
Adam, are there any big – we've had big names, but are there any other big names out there, names that we could keep an eye on between now and Tuesday?
Well, I mentioned Adam Thielen and Mike Williams of the Jets, a couple of wide receivers that are interesting. Christian Kirk would have been in play had he not fractured his collarbone. Za'Darius Smith in Cleveland. Azeez Ojulari with the Giants, the pass rusher. Tre'Davious White. You know, there's a reason that guys are on the block by and large. So you hear these names, but again, there's a backstory, right? Like everyone says, Deontay Johnson, great player, and he is a great player. But why was Carolina willing to give him away for a flop, right? So there's stories behind every trade like that.
We're talking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. Adam, of course, you know Drake May in the concussion protocol after taking that shot against the Jets on Sunday. He's on step three, I think it is, where he's only allowed to practice for a half hour today. You've seen other player, Marvin Harrison, some other guys this year, come back the week after going into the concussion protocol. Are you hearing anything about where this may go with Drake May and if they're looking to have him back on Sunday?
Well, I think it's the kind of thing where, yeah, you'd like to get him back, but typically, most players don't make it back for the next week. And so it's just, if you look at it, I think the average return to play is about 8 days. And I think if you've got a young quarterback, you're going to be even more careful than normal. So I know he was listed as limited today, and I know there's a chance that he could make it back, and I know they'll give him every opportunity. But just on its surface, my general reaction would be, I probably would be a little surprised if he did make it back and clear through, but every player is different with every concussion protocol.
Adam, a couple weeks ago in London, I think there was some perception that Doug Peterson might have been playing the Patriots for his job. He got the win. We've seen Saleh get fired already. Where does sort of that head coaching carousel midseason stand? Are there guys that you think maybe let go during the regular season, or is it going to wait till the end of the year at this point?
Just like the trading cycle has heated up and it happens in advance of the trade deadline now, I think the firing cycle also has accelerated, where it used to be that, to me, hunting season, as I think you could refer to it as, for head coaches started right around Thanksgiving. And now we've already seen one head coach fired in Robert Saleh. I'm not telling anybody's getting fired anytime soon, but would it shock me if there was a coach fired next week, the week? No. If we go back to the trade deadline last year, I remember getting home from ESPN that day, and I was completely exhausted. I get into bed that night. I fall asleep about 10:30, and I wake up at 12, and there were like three texts that the Raiders were firing Josh McDaniels on Halloween night last year, you know, literally hours after the trade deadline. And that's just kind of what the coaching cycle is right now. Everything has kind of kicked up. I think any coach whose team is underperforming at this time of the year, there's going to be a question about. Period. You can apply it to any coach on any team because of the day and age that we live in, because of the scrutiny, because of the impatience, because the owners have more money than ever before. Like, you could apply it to anybody just about at any time.
All right.
If you want.
Before we let you go here, Adam, would you consider the New York Jets to be the biggest disappointment in the league at the halfway point so far?
Well, I think as somebody pointed out this week, I think everybody could agree, if we look back at the Patriots over the last couple of decades, is it fair to say that heading into this season that there may never have been lower expectations for this team over the past two decades? Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's 100% fair to say, yes.
Okay. And I think we could look back at the Jets heading into this season with Aaron Rodgers coming back and Woody Johnson saying it's the best collection of talent that he's seen in his 25 years as an owner, that the expectations for the Jets this year were never higher than they've ever been than this past year. Now we're coming off a Sunday in which the low expectation Patriots beat the high expectation Jets to leave both teams after eight games with identical 2-6 records.
All right. Well, I'd say the prosecution rests right there. Adam Schefter, thanks so much. Great to talk with you as always, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Guys, thanks so much. Have a great week. And when we talk next week, we'll have been through quite a damn Tuesday one way or another.
That's true. We'll probably still be looking for answers on that other thing. But, yeah, the trade deadline will be over, that's for sure. Thanks, Adam.
Have a great week.
All right. That's Adam Schefter, the great Adam Schefter at ESPN, joining us here.
Really cracked himself up with
EEI Afternoons. Hey, you know, you got a good zinger. You got to let it go. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's the guest corner of the show here on Wednesdays, which means... Scal's coming up next. We'll talk with Brian Scalabrine of the NBC Sports Boston, Boston Celtics TV broadcast right after this.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.